El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write weekly columns for a whole bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I would come on this show to defend those opinions, but now I don't do any of that shit. I just do the show. Joining me today, he is one of the funniest comics working in Los Angeles right now. You can check him out on his podcast, This Is Rad, or you can check out his comedy album, which is called I'm a Person. Or maybe you can do both. Be generous, you sons of bitches. Ladies and gentlemen, it's his first time here, Kyle Clark. Also joining us, you know how it goes. I'm here, Jeff is here, Jess is here. If I introduce Jeff or Jess in this section, would you even fucking hear clear enough to know which person I was talking about? There's other people here. You've listened to the show before. Jesus Christ. It's going to be a great show. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Hey. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. Just talking Stephen King.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Little Stevie.
No, that's someone else.
That's a different guy.
We have a first-time guest, Kyle Clark.
I'm excited to be here.
How's it going? Thanks for doing it.
It's very exciting.
Excited to have you on.
From knowing you for so long, Jeffrey, exciting to see your other life.
Why didn't you ever tell me about Kyle?
I did.
No.
And you're like, I'm not interested in learning anything about these people.
He had to see the two of us amuse the same 12 people in a bar in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
I passed the test.
Yeah. Me and Kyle were on the same bar show.
You know how Kyle and I were introduced? We were forced to debate Wolverine versus Batman.
At 2 a.m. in a bar.
Who would win in a fight.
You were forced to?
Yes,
by a very drunk Ryan.
By another superhero?
A very drunk. Well, he is a
superhero in his own way.
In that he is sort of immortal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
nothing he does to his body seems to be able to kill him. He's like Hancock.
Yeah. Nice.
It's very much like Hancock. I'm going to remake Hancock?
Well, that'd be great.
All right.
Kyle, you host a podcast called...
This Is Rad.
This Is Rad.
Yeah. It's great. It's rad.
Which could, in theory, be the name of this podcast, too. Because this podcast is rad.
Yeah.
But so is Kyle's.
You know what?
We're going to take that name.
Unpopular opinion.
Yours doesn't really fit because your show is wildly popular.
But it's also rad.
It is. It is rad.
I don't think anyone would argue with that.
We're radly popular.
Yeah.
Is that right?
This is that killer back and forth that you guys are famous for.
Yeah, this makes is the so banter rad. That makes this podcast what it is.
Welcome to the delicious dish. Welcome to the unpopular opinion.
I'm excited because I've never seen the two of you in the same place despite the two of you being such good friends.
Yeah, avoid it.
It's actually very impressive how little you see each other outside of this room.
Yeah. Jeff lives here. Jeff lives in this room.
Good.
He lives inside the Iron Giant cutout.
I've always assumed that he would live inside of some sort of Iron Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the closest guest I think we're ever going to have to maybe being the same height as the Iron Giant.
I'm definitely close.
Yeah, you are. You make me feel safe.
Yeah.
I like not being the tallest.
I like
being the second tallest.
I like being bigger than you, but knowing that if a fight came out, like I could throw you at the Acost, person.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's fair. I remember when I started dating Raquel, my profile picture was Kyle hugging me from behind, like very, very softly. And she was just like, I'm not really comfortable with that.
Oh, because Raquel's a huge homophobe?
Yeah.
Huge homophobe.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Hates them all. No, she just hates Kyle.
Oh, yeah. That makes perfect sense.
It's still a hate crime.
Jess, you're here.
Hiya.
Hi. Handling our... engineering chair.
Yes. Yeah.
New Brett. Call her Brett.
Becky with the good chair.
Becky with the good chair. I like that.
I like that,
but
too.
You also have good hair.
Oh, well, thank you.
She has a braid that is fancy.
Solid braid action.
She's still not super comfortable with us making her talk.
No.
Because she didn't think she was going to have to talk.
She was like, I'll just do engineering stuff. And we're like, F you, bruh.
You are in it now. You are in the
You are now in the shit.
Oh, you're back there,
Captain
Robin.
Captain Four-Leaf Dayback wrote the book.
What's the faces you guys make that they can't see?
Welcome to the trap.
Like, you really crawl into character.
Tropic Fun Popular Opinion. You've got to put those boys in the shit.
Pretty good movie.
It's It's really good movie.
Really good.
It's a fantastic movie.
I find that every time I watch it, I like it more.
Do you like Tropic Thunder?
Yes.
There it is. Okay, good. You are hired.
I would argue I could use 5 to 10 more minutes of Steve Coogan in it.
I like
his underutilized in it. His the way he exits the film is amazing, but I could have used a few more minutes of him.
Really? I am a big fan of Danny. God, why am I breaking out?
Trejo.
Danny McBride.
There we go. All right, sure.
Like, I love that Danny McBride can play Danny McBride in every movie.
I'm a little obsessed with how his career is moving, too. The fact that he's in Alien Covenant, he's writing the new Halloween movie. I'm just like, why do you need to have the best jobs?
Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah. Hey, speaking of that. That segues into what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about upcoming movie remakes this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Excuse me?
Movie remakes.
Movie remakes. I don't like that. I don't like what's happening. I don't like anything that's happening right now. Yeah, we're talking about movie remakes that are upcoming.
It's a very popular thing to hate.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a movie remake. Like, it's the thing. When's Hollywood going to get a new idea? Never. They've never
But I also feel like they come up with them all the time, and then no one sees them, and that's why I've stopped listening to people who get mad about that.
Yeah.
Like, last year, the big movie I championed was Green Room, an original movie that was amazing, and people don't see it because it doesn't have a superhero in it.
Well, it has Professor X in it.
That is true.
Green Room was so great.
It's the fucking best.
Yeah, that was my favorite movie.
Have you seen Macon Blair's new movie that just hit Netflix that I don't feel at home in this world anymore?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Fucking fantastic.
Really?
Very much in the same vein as that and Blue Ruin. It's that kind of Coen Brothers-y, like regular people in a very violent, over-their-head situation.
That's the same with Logan.
If you like when in RoboCop his arm blows up, there's some of that action going on.
I think everyone likes that.
It's the crucifixion scene. It's very important.
It is. RoboCop.
Shut up, nerd.
Jesus nerd.
You know, he's judging you guys.
That's what they said to Jesus.
Oh, shut up about the Bible, dude. Shut up, you fucking lord. You gay lord.
I see what you did there.
We built a cross. We're carpenters, too. Get on it.
This is fun.
This is fun. Good.
Just do Bible jokes for an hour.
Do like future Bible movies count as reboots of the Bible?
Right. There it is.
Are there future Bible movies coming?
There's got to be some more coming along. I feel like you get one every, you know, periodically.
I feel like you only get one like every decade or so.
There's a lot of straight-to-DVD
We had Passion of the Christ, but there was also Noah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Noah.
With the fucking rock monsters.
Because before Passion of the Christ, I remember Last Temptation.
But that was like, what, 79?
No,
it's like 80s.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it was like late.
Well, you know, 79 is right on the precipice of the 80s, so I wasn't that far off.
Look at this fucking decade
over here. Wow. Mr. Calendar over here.
Wow.
Just studying the months and what order they go in. You must feel pretty cool.
I mean, I feel like you guys are reading. Oh, wow, it was 88. I was way off.
Almost a decade.
I mean, both of us like, confidently and nebulously said the 80s. Like, confident enough that it's in there somewhere.
That's fair. It's like 98. Wow.
It opened against Independence Day. That was 97. It was. I'm working on something that's set in 1997 that I'm writing, and so I'm very well versed in what a great year that was.
That was a pretty cool year.
Yeah.
Puff Daddy and the family were taking over.
Sugar Ray was in every, mall.
Man.
I was a sophomore in high school then.
I was in fourth grade.
Collecting Star Wars, Mint on Card, Power of the Force action figures. They had just shifted over to the green card in 1997. Oh, yeah.
They had started to slim down Luke and Han.
They had gone from orange card to green card. Yeah, right?
Away from the version of the original releases.
Bodybuilder Luke Skywalker. Huge barrel chest.
I had been out of high school for 4 years because I'm old as shit.
You don't look it.
I know. I'm holding it together. Fucking amazing.
You don't look old as shit. Like, Jeff, falling apart, could be 100 years old for all
what?
We know.
Oh.
No, you look good. No, you look like...
Jess, tell Jeff he's falling apart.
I don't want to.
Oh, come on!
She respects or pities me. Take that, guys.
You're one of those guys who I feel like you'll hit 40 and you'll just look the same for the rest of your life until you...
You're one of those guys who will hit
locked into a
40 women before you...
Eat breakfast.
Got to set goals for your day.
You're lined up like a xylophone in an old cartoon. Just that's the sound of the lady's jaws breaking.
Is that very dainty, very delicate?
A glass. Wow. Crystal.
You beat up an entire...
I beat up a bunch of girls named Crystal.
You beat up a ballet troupe.
This is awful and I don't like it.
This is the remake I'm looking forward to the most. I'm sorry.
Jess is like, can I watch you destroy my gender verbally? You bring me in here and just make me super uncomfortable?
That's about where it was, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, was that awkward?
Hashtag team lady Brett.
What's fun is I feel like she's still mostly afraid of you in the room, though. Like, even after clearly being in the right side of history in this story, she's like, nah, but he's still the most brutal. I can take the other
two. I am like, no, there's a thing about me where, like, people can look at me and they're like, fuck that guy. Like, that's like a very...
Yeah. I've watched
get
it
that
happen.
I get that a lot. And I'm just like, what do you want? I don't know. I don't know what you want.
I feel it happen every time Jeff arrives.
No, I like it because you are one of my favorite types of people, which is like the dangerous-looking thug who's actually like a good guy.
Oh, who's actually a thug in real life.
I mean, you're still a thug.
I primal fear you at the end.
That should get remade.
It should. So should we talk about... We were talking earlier that there is definitely kind of almost a disgust toward remakes. And I think we all kind of agreed that it's not exactly warranted.
It's not inherently a bad thing.
Yeah, sometimes movies get fucked up and they need to be done better.
My favorite, and I've done this before, is when people get upset, when people got upset that they remade John Carpenter's The Thing. And they were like, how could you?
But
and
that
it's
was
like,
a sequel.
It's like, that's
prequel.
A remake. Like John Carpenter's The Thing, what, 1957? The thing from
Outer Space?
Outer Space. Like, hi, you wouldn't have had that if they were like, well, no, that's been
which
done.
Even out of itself was based on an intellectual property because it's based on a short story called Who Goes There?
What?
So it just endlessly runs and people are just like, this is this new version of Hollywood that's taking things that already exist. And again, I feel like that is always kind of the watermark, is like The Thing is a perfect movie. Like John Carpenter's The Thing is this amazing thing and it is a remake.
Yeah,
but he took interesting things with it and did something cool with it. And I think that if you do that, it doesn't matter if it's a remake or not. Like, just put your own style and flair to it, and you can kind of do whatever you want.
Did you ever see the version of that made with G.I. Joes and stop-motion animation?
I have not.
It is unbelievable.
I bet that's pretty cool.
I hate stop-motion animation so much.
Do you really?
It weirds me out. Claymation, any of that.
I love it.
I can't get into it.
If you ever want to really ruin your day then, have you ever seen the Quay Brothers version of Alice in Wonderland, where it's all with taxidermy animals?
Oh, well, that sounds kind of cute.
It's fucking nightmare fuel for days. Yeah. It is a real bummer. I would say watch it as sober as you can allow yourself to be, because, dear
it's
God.
Not very, am I right?
It is a hellish landscape to work your way through.
I'm very excited to watch
that's
that.
That's a good remake.
Yeah, there you go. The taxidermy Alice in Wonderland version.
I'm into that.
I realized that I think the movie I'm most excited for during this full circle of the beginning this year is a remake, and that is the version of It that's out in September.
Yeah, I'm down with it. Because there's two, right? It's going
to
be broken
Nobody
up into
seems
two.
To know. They seem to be real fucking coy with how they're playing with it.
Well, it's Hollywood, so it's going to be broken into two.
It unless it doesn't do well, in which case they're like, no, we just meant it to be this one movie that doesn't have all the stories. I just bought, because it's $5 on Amazon, the TV movie version of It from the 90s, which wrecked me as a kid. Like,
yeah,
made me afraid of drains.
I ever watched it as a kid.
I did, but here's the thing. Way worse than you remember it, though. It's really not...
I would say the acting in it is quite bad, which is weird because it actually has a couple, like,
Jonathan Brandis is in it.
And so is fucking Seth Green.
Yeah,
one of the kids. Yeah. It's definitely a victim of the effects don't wildly hold up. Tim Curry is given a great performance in it.
That was also on ABC, wasn't
it? And it does kind of follow a lot of the beats from the book. Like, I think that book is definitely
like the alien scariest spider.
And I know people love to talk about like the crazy gangbang sequence. It does not have that.
Excuse me?
There is a
my version does.
But at the same time, like, I think overall, like, it does the best it can being a TV movie. I'm really excited to see what somebody, when they're just kind of like unbridled, able to go with it, what they can do.
Did you ever see the Tommyknockers TV movie?
It's real shitty.
So bad.
Yeah.
I remember being freaked out by it.
Did you see The Stand?
I own The Stand.
The TV version?
I've owned
The Stand
on VHS and DVD.
Yeah. It's not the worst.
No, it's got its moments. I think, again, that and It are both these weird, kind of noble TV movie attempts at adapting stuff.
Like, yeah.
It's again, a phenomenal cast. Gary Sinise, Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
That guy from Coach.
Yeah. Oh, Nelson? Yeah.
No.
Dauber.
Yeah.
Dauber plays Tom Cullen.
Oh.
That's one that I could stand to.
Hey,
you didn't get it. Can you stand it?
But no, I agree. I think The Stand would be an amazing adaptation.
They are doing that.
They were doing it, and then it seems like a lot of the people working on that have kind of jumped to The Dark Tower.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the
which
Dark also, Tower
is which is also
Stand.
Also potentially going to
be
cool.
Pretty great. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dark Tower and The Stand, I think, are
but
my
they're
favorite.
They're same universe, aren't they?
Like sort of. Everything's yeah. Kind of in a shared universe with his stuff, and The Dark Tower,
and
is
especially
kind of
with the Dark
cheat
Tower.
Stand by Me and The Stand are the same.
Well, actually, yes, because the Stand by Me town that it takes place in actually works into like the histories of
God
his other
damn
books.
It.
Yeah,
he's good.
And Randall Flagg from The Stand shows up.
Is the Dark Man? That's who McConaughey's
the Dark Tower.
Fun.
Yeah.
I you know what? I really don't I don't follow the Stephen King.
I think I like Stephen King the same reason I like X-Men, where I just like brutally complicated like continuity because it gives me something to think about instead of my feelings.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I'm a big Stephen King fan.
It's not a hip thing to be, I feel like, a lot of the time.
No,
and he really is a solid guy.
Yeah, he's a home run hitter. They like a home run hitter strikes out a lot.
Yeah.
But when they hit a home run,
you knock a couple of
fucking home runs
out.
Did you
read
Dr. Sleep, the Shining sequel that came out a few years ago?
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah, really good.
Holy shit. If you told me that the guy's gonna write a sequel to The Shining, you're like, oh, this is a bad call. And instead, like it is such a smart way to do like a years later sequel, because you can read it and have know nothing about the Shining and still thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
But those extra elements add a lot of cool stuff to it.
Why is my remake podcast about books now?
Because the guy in the cardigan showed up.
That's fair.
Got to take that lit degree to town.
The only thing with the It remake, I don't like how scary Pennywise looks right out of the gate.
Yeah.
That was my problem with the Poltergeist remake. That clown in the original Poltergeist did not look scary
at
first.
That Poltergeist billboard, though, was fucking awesome.
For the remake?
Yeah. Shitty movie. But, that billboard on, when you'd get off the freeway at Highland and there'd just be this terrifying clown doll stretched across the skyline. I'm like, this is the best.
Yeah.
I never
go see the movie and you're like, this is the worst.
What a bummer.
Remember that 35-second clown scene from the first movie? That's our marketing.
The saddest thing is they cut the best scene out of Poltergeist, the original, and put in a lame 3D movie sequence instead.
Which
the guy pulling his face off in the original,
and
away the coolest part of the original Poltergeist. And then this one, there's like a weird drill thing that's like a 90s TV 3D kind of whoa kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it was real, real garbage.
I didn't see it. I didn't bother.
It was the perfect movie to see on tour. Like, those are my favorites.
And then none of the actors died immediately after, like in the original.
It's not
so
a Poltergeist
lame.
Movie.
Well, we've got time. They've got Poltergeist 2 to get through.
Yeah.
Are they doing that?
Mm-mm.
Poltergeist 3.
No, that movie lost a bunch of
Poltergeist 3 is where it really starts.
That's where, like, it's a real bummer of a movie to watch, because it's actually a pretty well-made movie, but just everybody's dying.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, man, this franchise is just murdering the shit out of people.
Yeah.
So, I'm down to see It when it comes out. Jeff, is there a remake you're looking forward to?
That I'm necessarily looking for? I mean, I looked through that list, and there's a lot of them. And I was, looking through the whole thing.
Name one.
I mean, no.
just screeching halt to everything.
I wasn't, there was one, and then I guess I kind of dropped the ball on
it. Well, what about the Eli Roth Death Wish?
I kind of love
with
that.
Bruce Willis.
I will see the fuck out of that.
Yeah, I loved the Death Wish franchise.
Yeah, and I got a secret
even when they were
on
canon
for
films?
Eli Roth.
Yeah. Eli Roth is great.
Like Green Inferno, what a delightful movie that I can't tell anyone to go see.
Yeah.
And even Knock Knock had some interesting moments. He's a guy
I saw that.
I don't think he's ever made, maybe Hostel 2 might be the only thing I'd say is like a perfect movie of his. But he makes such weird, interesting stuff that I'm like, sure, whatever you do, I'm going to end up going and seeing it.
I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine with the live action Disney stuff.
Those are fun.
I think it's fun.
The live action Jungle Book was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was really good.
The Beauty and the Beast looks really good.
Yeah.
It looks fine.
That's almost the only way. I'm not a big fan of, I always say animation in general, but it's just kids type stuff doesn't resonate with me.
The original Beauty and the Beast animations, I mean, that was nominated for Best Picture.
Jeff's a girl.
No, I'm a very masculine man.
Jeff's like,
girl, look, it was pretty late.
You know, I hit all these touchstones of what a man is supposed to be.
No, you like that cartoon.
No. I was a PE taught social studies, for God's sakes.
That cartoon about a girl.
Who likes books.
likes
or how about just a
stupid books?
How about a big, rabid, angry monster of a beast of a man?
You wanted to be that fancy candlestick holder.
Mix Lumiere?
Yeah.
Ma chère.
The two of you could go as Lumiere and the clock
and Cogs,
as cosplay, and it would be very impressive.
I don't know why we're not.
It is with great pride. I could do.
I'm always upset that your accent work is usually better than it should be.
Because
it's like you bring a dramatic flair that, again, I would not expect looking at you.
That we proudly present.
You're like the jock that gets to be the lead in the school play and all the theater kids hate him.
Oh, we did that senior year. Yeah, me and my friend Matt, he got Romeo, I got Mercutio.
Oh,
it was so much fun.
And just there was just some femmy dudes who were waiting for their moment.
Ah, there was one guy that was obsessed with Romeo and Juliet. He was livid he didn't get it.
Did you ever see Hamlet 2? Speaking of Steve Coogan.
I need to see
it's
that.
It's one of it's my really favorite good. Comedies. It's a super underrated movie, but yeah, there's a character in that who is kind of the brown nosy kid in the drama club, and as these other kids get brought in, he keeps getting pushed further and further back.
Nobody likes that kid.
And he's awful in the movie, but like he's just like, I've been through this. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I definitely recommend you watch that.
Theater kids.
Oh, such mixed emotions.
I was in theater and I was like, phew.
I was in it and then quit.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did it middle school and the first years of high school, and then I quit to be in rock bands full time.
I just did it senior year. Romeo and Juliet. God, I was like, I want to be Mercutio. Hated you. Yeah, it was great. I'm like, the guy who got Tybalt was 20 with prison tap.
What badass version? Was this the Baz Luhrmann version you were
might
on?
Might as well have been, right? It's the guy who was the guy. Remember how there was a guy that was like a thug professionally that we had a friend from a couple episodes ago?
Oh, yeah.
He was like a guy. He was like my friend who was like literally his job was a hired thug in high school when he was 20. And he
why
played
was he in
Tybalt.
High school?
I fucking love those guys.
Because he got expelled twice.
Jesus.
Yeah. He was he's like crazy as shit now. Like sometimes.
Oh really?
Sometimes he'll pop up on my Facebook and he'll like leave a comment that's the most terrifying.
Yeah, I got a fun dark game I've been thinking about recently. I feel like this is as good a podcast as I need to throw this out on because my podcast is built around positivity, so I got to take it somewhere.
Gross.
I want to play a game where you look at how many guys who were like 20 who took a high school girl to prom who are dead now.
Oh,
yeah. Like that very specific type of guy,
yeah.
I feel like they don't live long.
In college, I dated a girl who had her prom picture up, and it was her. And literally, the guy had like a flat-brimmed Boston Red Sox hat in there. And I was like, I don't understand how you ever let this happen.
Jess, you ever go to prom with any douchebags? Let's hear about it.
They were all douchebags. I went to 6 proms.
Whoa.
You went to 6?
Holy shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
What, do you got a punch card?
I was almost prom queen twice.
Whoa.
Yeah. How many times
like
did you actually
John
get
McCain.
It?
None. I was almost was twice. Oh. I was beat out by my ex-girlfriend both times.
Holy shit.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
We should kill her.
Forget about remakes. I want this the rest of the podcast. Yeah.
Are they remaking prom night or something?
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Carrie remake.
How'd you go 6 times?
Because I went to other high school's proms, too. I got asked by a lot of people I worked with and stuff.
That's badass.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you, like, have, like, an outfit just ready to go? Just, like, prom?
I reused the same 3 dresses.
Good. There okay. I'm very glad.
Yeah.
The same 3 dresses means you reused dresses once.
Yeah. But they were only, like, $50 each, so I still did better than most girls for their
$1.
A
piece.
That's solid.
That's so Connecticut.
Oh my God.
Is that where you're from?
Yes, I'm from Connecticut, but not Connecticut that kind prom. Of Connecticut.
You couldn't tell by the way when she smokes a cigarette, she has one of those long cigarette holders.
I had not noticed yet. Like I'm excited to see this.
God. I do have one of those, but I don't use it.
Like the holders?
Yeah.
Oh, they're the best. That's what I look for at garage sales, is cigarette holders. I have just a loose collection of old man smelling ones just in a bag, and I'm like, one day I'm going to use these.
That's beautiful.
I like my cigarette holders like I like my sweaters. Smelling of old dead men.
I pull them out anytime I don't have a Halloween costume and go as Hunter Thompson.
There's a show on, I think it's on VH1. It's one of those like Real Housewives type spoof shows. And there's a scene, I think about it all the time, where a woman's smoking an e-cigarette, but she's smoking it through a cigarette holder.
What? That's
the
amazing.
Fucking
holy
thing.
Shit.
That's so
what
funny.
Steampunk looks like.
Yeah.
Or cyberpunk.
Pretty much.
That's everything Neal Stephenson ever wanted. I'll continue throwing book references all day.
Talk about movies. I know.
I like continuing watching because I feel like deep down you secretly know them all. And you're like, I got to stay on brand and pretend I don't read.
If it's a Star Wars novel, I got it.
You and Clee Wiggins.
Yeah, shout out to Clee Wiggins.
But, God, where was it? Oh, the long... I thought you meant like the long, like slim cigarettes.
Well, like the Penguin. Oh, not like well, a Virginia Slim.
I was thinking like the Virginia
Slim. Like a lollipop
like,
stick?
Yeah, like, because that also seems like a very like East Coast Capri's. Lady thing to do. Yeah,
yeah. I used to buy, I used to be the one that would buy cigarettes for people because I never got carded. And so I'd be like, what do you want? And they'd be like, yeah, surprise me. So I'm like, Capri 120,
please. When I was in college, there was a grocery store that was going out of business. And so they were selling all their cigarettes for massively discounted prices.
What?
So they were like $1.50 a pack. It was.
Is that a crime?
Yeah.
Is that legal? Like,
look, sometimes when illegal things work your way, you don't ask questions.
We're going out evading taxes.
You just buy $150 worth of Capri cigarettes and you put them in a bowl in the center of the coffee table at your friend's house.
They should have like done one of those Guinness Book of World Records cigarettes in the mouth, but with thousands of Capris.
I wonder if you can set that as a separate side record.
Right?
Like regular or Capri.
The Capri division.
Yeah.
Oh, Capris were the best. Just, I think they probably still make them.
I imagine they do.
Yeah, they must. So, Jeff, are there? Did you decide on something?
I mean, there's some like because a lot of people like there's because the site you sent has what 161.
Yeah, I sent a couple, but
like a lot of them had a lot of asterisks on them for me. They're like, can you believe they're doing a reboot / remake of Ghost in the Shell? It's like, no, that's just a live action version of a very popular anime or Akira. I would love to see a live action Akira.
I feel like that would be so hard. Like, to me, Ghost in the Shell, which I'm fucking stoked as shit for, like, is because, like, that's such a well-put-together single movie. Like, I discard Standalone Complex and anything else that goes along with it. But, like, just doing the anime as a movie seems like a thing that's such a perfect thing to adapt. Akira, as an anime, is totally incomprehensible.
Well, it's fucked
up and
weird.
But it makes you trip balls while you watch it.
I don't watch any anime. I don't have any knowledge of it. I have found
a fun, lucrative side brand recently has been that now that it's public that I enjoy anime, I have people who come to my shows theoretically to see me do comedy, but largely to wait until after the show to talk to me about anime, and they're my favorite people in the world because they always suck me in.
Yeah, I bet.
What's your favorite anime?
Neon Genesis Evangelion. I'm wearing there a pin for it right
now. Oh, there it is. What's your favorite?
Jess, what's your favorite anime?
It was always just Sailor Moon because that's what I grew up with.
Nice.
There it is.
Can't go wrong.
There it is.
You ever seen the live action Sailor Moon that they did?
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Did you see the live action Attack on Titan?
I have not.
No, I was supposed to watch it last weekend, actually.
It's fucking nightmarish.
Really?
It is a goddamn nightmare. I saw it on a plane and I was like, well, I'm not sleeping on the rest of this flight.
No.
It's scary the way they do the Titans.
Where'd you see that off of?
Literally on the plane. Like, oh, it was like, it? Yeah, it was on, and I was
what
like, what the fuck?
Ass plane are you on?
It was like Delta or something.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, I'll take it.
Delta, bring your cat ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have an anime line.
Yeah.
Delta. It's just anime planes.
All the cushions that you use are body pillows.
Welcome to Delta Weeaboo.
So are there any upcoming remakes people aren't looking forward to? Like, is there anything you think that legitimately needs to be left alone?
I don't know that Memento needs to get remade. I saw that
on
the
list.
Yeah,
it seems a little early for that.
That seems soon.
Yeah.
And also like a pretty... I feel like for me, the best remakes are things that go back and tinker with something that wasn't great the first time around. Like if you do a Masters of the Universe movie, like that movie's fun for like camp value, but like you could do some crazy...
You could finally do a right Masters of the Universe.
Like, yeah. I feel like now more than ever is a time like between homoeroticism and computer effects, like literally every movie is just trying to be Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
So I feel like that, but like something like Memento, just like...
Yeah.
You know, that movie was made for not a lot of money. It's very tightly put together. Like, why would you remake that clever thing?
There were a couple that I was sort of like, as I went through, like, I feel like Cliffhanger. I don't know how Cliffhanger was considered sort of a shot in the ass for Sly Stallone.
It's weird.
It's really like lightning in a bottle.
That's a movie that people forget exists.
It was like a huge movie.
Oh, at my grandparents, when they had an NES, and one of the games I spent many hours playing was the NES Cliffhanger game.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like in my soul with birds that attack you.
I had the Sega Genesis one. And it was a lot of knife play.
Yeah.
Just a lot of...
But, like, that's a weird one to do because it's just... It's like remaking Roadhouse. Like, it was an accident that it was watchable in the first place.
There's a lot of lightning in a bottle. They're like, hey, you know what we should remake? Cube. It was like, fucking Cube was great, but, like, you don't need... Like, Cube was exactly what it was supposed to be, which is, like, the best sci-fi original movie ever made. That's exactly what it was. It's like the whole thing, it's like, oh, the real answer is math. And it's like, okay, that's the end. You square one TV'd my horror sci-fi. Like, fine, I get it. But you can't, like, you don't need that. And they did, like, 30 sequels and prequels to that anyway. Like, Cube was a movie that you don't need to remake. It's just not necessary. Because the technology... Like, remakes, I think now, the reason that remakes are important now is because tech has changed so much now that you can get what you wanted. Like, a lot of directors and producers and stuff, they were like, this is what we wanted to do, and it clearly couldn't pan out.
Can I throw out my least favorite thing? The new process of turning movies into TV shows?
Yeah.
I don't love it at all.
I saw a Taken billboard. I'm not a fan of that.
For every Fargo, there is every single other one.
Yeah. Fargo is...
Was Limitless good? I heard Limitless is actually really good.
I never saw it. I only know the Limitless franchise through billboards on the bus stop at the Liquid Zoo.
Yeah, right.
So I knew that there was a movie called that, and I knew there was a show that because they both were advertised on the bus next to the Liquid Zoo.
Yeah, they did a Training Day TV show, which I think has already been canceled. Because
the somebody in it died. Wasn't it Bill Paxton was in it?
Oh, was that it?
I think he was the corrupt cop this time around.
That
corruption comes back to get you.
So they made an older white dude the corrupt cop.
It,
okay.
So that it's a young African American.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
Really missing the point of Training Day,
which wasn't that great of a movie.
It has moments. It's funny when they shove Denzel Washington shoves his hand into Snoop Dogg in a wheelchair's mouth.
That's
a real good time.
And I do love. I didn't know you get wet.
Yeah, that's the best part of the movie.
Because that was also one of the best Chappelle's Show references.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Narc, which came out right around the same time as Training Day with Ray Liotta?
Wait, didn't SWAT come out right around time, too?
Like, there was this weird kind
SWAT and Narc.
But, like, Narc is actually, like, an underratedly awesome cop movie. It's, like, a real small, it almost feels like a USA film.
Oh. Wait, Ray Liotta's in a cop movie?
Yeah. Mm. But, like, opening sequence is awesome because, like, they throw, like, meth cooking in a frying pan in a guy's face. And then there's a sequence where they find a guy with his head blown off from a shotgun. Well, you know, you got to skillet it up. Throw some eggs in there.
Country fried meth fist.
And then there's a guy who blows his own head off with a shotgun when he tries to use a shotgun as a bong.
You know, I do have to say one of my favorite scenes, shotgun related, is in the scene in American Gangster where the guy's inside the drug plant and he hears the cops coming, so he takes a shotgun to try to shoot through the door, but it's a metal door, and it just, like, the flechette comes back and hits him in the face.
Yeah. What about remember the Man from U.N.C.L.E.? Movie?
That was great. That was like, damn good movie.
That's one of those things that's one of those weird ones you championed.
Like, yeah.
I would say...
I thought it was good, too.
I didn't see... Because I'm not a big Guy Ritchie fan.
A Guy Ritchie action comedy, though? I mean, come on, though.
I would say Lock, Stock is legitimately the only Guy Ritchie movie I like.
You don't like
Snatch? I do not like Snatch. I would say I try to watch it once every couple of years and go, maybe this is the time this sticks.
I actually like his Sherlock Holmes.
Swept Away with Madonna.
I think his Sherlock Holmes was good because it didn't have to be Sherlock. It didn't have to be...
It was face-punchy Sherlock.
It was fun. Like, it was sometimes,
Jeff May Sherlock.
Jason Statham Sherlock, basically. Yeah. Like, I'll accept that. Like, I mean, I know it's not Jason Statham. I'm just more
RDJ.
Yeah,
it was.
I liked it. It was fun. It showed he was face punchy, but it showed, like, the brain process of it.
Sure.
I thought it was a clever way of doing it. Like, why not? You've done enough. There's been so many different versions of the Sherlock character. Why not have one where he's a badass?
Wasn't against it. Guy Ritchie is very much one of those guys that I look at him like, oh, he's just not for me.
Yeah.
So I ain't mad at him.
So, Jeff, you mentioned, like, reboots, like the Batman. Don't you think they're a little, kind of getting a little out of hand with rebooting shit like that?
With restarting, like, comic book stuff?
Yeah.
Like, well, you have,
like, but you yeah, have how to, many times has Spider-Man
But you rebooted? Have to, yeah, once every presidency since, no. But, like, you, oh,
that
you
is,
have to
that
do
is accurate.
That. Yeah, every time we've gotten a new president, we've gotten a new Spider-Man.
And it's weird. I stand by the Obama Spider-Man.
Yeah.
This is a,
really?
This is a
I liked him as Spider-Man.
Here's a controversial stance I take. I thoroughly enjoy The Amazing Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Two?
Yeah.
We're done.
I
Amazing Spider-Man 2 was fucking dog shit.
Remember, though, I'm also the guy.
It is so bad.
I do did not you see like
it,
Jess?
Yeah, I didn't like it either. You didn't so like it?
It's dumb, but yeah. So is most of the Spider-Man movies.
Well, like, Spider-Man, I don't think it's, Spider-Man 2 were fine. Spider-Man 3 is garbage.
I hate the original Spider-Man.
Amazing
the
Spider-Man. Sam Raimi, ugh. I really liked Amazing Spider-Man.
I hate Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man with all of my heart. And I like Tobey Maguire. I have nothing against Spider-Man. You put them together, and it makes me mad. Like a 45-year-old Spider-Man who looks like he's constantly about to go pick up his kids for the weekend. Like talking to a 35-year-old woman who's just like, God, when I finish esthetician school, like it's just everybody's so old and such a bad actor. And then the action is kind of...
Hey, Spider-Man!
Like, it's just... It just bugs me.
Yeah, and Amazing Spider-Man 2, way worse.
Sure, but like...
So bad.
It's one of those ones where at least it kind of revels in being this like superhero-y spectacle. No one's defending Jamie Foxx. I kind of like the kid who does the goblin thing. Who gives a shit? Like, the Green Goblin's an awful character.
What are you doing? What are you doing to me?
Like, and I like the way they do the death of Gwen Stacy was kind of cool how it was shot. It's not good, but it's like watchable.
They did like a slightly worse version of a thing that was written in 1974.
I would put it in the same boat as like X-Men 3, where I'm not mad at
that
it.
That is so bad. X-Men 3 is awful. But, it's literally the worst X-Men.
Oh, I don't know about that.
But X-Men Origins Wolverine.
At this point, it's maybe in the middle of the pack for X-Men movies.
No. You're wrong.
Did you see X-Men Apocalypse?
I've seen all of them.
So have I, except Logan yet. I can't bring myself to get excited for Logan.
You like Tarantino?
Eh.
You like Cormac McCarthy's The Road?
Yeah. Well, I'm more of a Blood Meridian guy.
Okay.
That's fine. I mean, The Road's a bummer, but Blood Meridian's a bummer, but occasionally it also gets like crazy and there's like trees full of dead babies.
That's not too far off. But think with Batman, like, yeah, comic book movies are a big deal, and so you have to keep this up, but you can't tie Christian Bale to Batman after he's done. He's got to bring his eye wart somewhere, you know? Like, which, and by the way, I like those movies, but he was always the worst part of those movies.
Christian Bale
was always the worst part of those Batman movies.
That feels like...
I don't know. Katie Holmes, a bit of a hipster opinion
to me.
No, what are you talking about? The villains are what make that whole thing. And Jim Gordon, like Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon makes the movies.
He makes those movies, but yeah. Like Batman is the sweeping theme of those movies. But like the Dark Knight. Like you were like, oh, I can't wait for this Joker scene to be over so I can see what Christian Bale is.
Well,
doing.
Yeah, but that's different. The Dark Knight.
Even the Bane stuff in The Dark Knight Rises was way more interesting than the like.
But that's a Batman.
I lost everything in the stock market.
That's a Batman problem across movies, though, because I feel like Batman's in. Because I find that that's a problem with Batman movies in general is that they're so kind of villain centric. It's why I think that Batman Begins is maybe the best version of a Batman movie.
I think Ben Affleck's Batman was good.
Ooh, I wanted to give that a shot.
In Batman versus Superman, which is an awful movie, just a garbage turd of a movie, and the only good thing about that movie was Affleck.
You're using my Suicide Squad defense for Batman versus Superman.
I was not.
I'm a defender. It's not a good movie, but no, man, there's way more to enjoy in that movie than there is in Batman versus Superman.
Well, like, yeah, because Suicide Squad was just a stupid 80s action movie with a $160 million budget.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that was.
Did you see it, Adam?
No.
It's worth a watch. If nothing else, do you ever miss...
Suicide Squad?
Do you ever miss old Will Smith?
Well, of course.
Okay, then this is answering your prayers. There's literally a point where a lady does something crazy and goes, damn, she crazy. Like the way you fell in love with him doing it in the 90s.
Yeah, that I do sound... Like,
I didn't
yeah,
even I
forgot,
know I missed
I even
him.
Forgot he's fucking in that.
He owns that movie.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to go see Academy Award winning film Suicide Squad sometime soon.
It's a fun movie to champion because it got so dogpiled. And I feel like there's so many bad movies that are of that same caliber.
Yeah.
That like it's weird that that's the one.
I like that.
I find that it's a movie that people like to bag on because Latinos like it a lot. So running thing I've started to notice, there is a weird racism, I feel like, to the people who hate Suicide Squad. You really get to see the white power element of comic book fans. Like, keep them Browns out of here.
Wow. Jess, you seem to vehemently agree with that.
Yeah, because that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Like I don't even have to add anything. It's just like that's the fucking truth.
Then why are you talking?
I went.
I was asked to speak.
I went to a Fright Fest at Magic Mountain this past year.
That was Suicide Squad thing.
Man, I have never seen more excited Latino teenagers in one place, just having the time of their lives. And I was like, these people like this movie.
I did notice that the fans of the DC cinematic universe tend to be non-white.
Yeah. Can you imagine the cultural explosion that would happen in Los Angeles if Morrissey put out an album called Suicide Squad?
Oh, my God. I'd buy that the day it came out.
Because... God damn, do Mexicans love Morrissey.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's adorable.
It's the best.
It's adorable.
I went to a Morrissey concert at USC a year ago. It was on New Year's Eve. And it was so, like, I had heard about it. I had heard about the Mexicans for Morrissey thing. And then you get there and you have no idea how real it is.
It's a bunch of Todd in South Central in there for a while. Ooh. And, oh, yeah.
I was going to do a...
Oh, please, do your bit.
No. Your thing is way more important and better.
I
was going to be racist.
I'm taking this bullet. No, yeah. I taught in South Central for a while when I was doing student teaching. Actually, because I went to USC for my student teaching stuff, so it's all the neighborhoods around that you teach in. And the first day I was at Jefferson High School, I saw a Morrissey kid and could not help myself but go, "You guys are real!"
Yeah, yeah.
And he ran away in fear because a giant white dude's pointing at him, yelling, "You guys are real!" with his pompadour, just like, "Hey!" and ran. It was great. It was the best.
Ran to sulk somewhere else.
Oh, God bless that kid.
Oh. I'm like excited, like Flash Gordon, for example. Like,
that'll be great.
Rebooting Flash Gordon. That'll be fun. Here's what people that are against reboots have to understand. You don't lose your movie.
Yeah.
RoboCop 87 isn't erased because of RoboCop 2014.
Right? Actually, I would say the opposite happened. 2014 RoboCop has been erased.
Which, by the way, wasn't a bad action movie.
Really? That was one where I was like, I don't legally have to see this.
No, it wasn't a bad action movie. I was not on a plane
during that time.
It was fine. It was not RoboCop. As long as you go in being like, this is not 1987 RoboCop, it's fine. Like, it's pretty well done. It's a good movie. The one thing is these reboots and everything, they don't have what the originals had. They're very surface.
Which is fueled by cocaine.
Jurassic World is surface. Jurassic Park is deep. It's that kind of stuff.
Jeff, I know you don't watch a ton of horror movies. Do you watch?
Massive. It's my jam.
How do you feel about horror reboots? I feel like horror reboots aren't always terrible.
I think they have a better track record than most other things. Because The example I always use besides The Thing is the goddamn Dawn of the Dead remake.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it's insane to think, like, I this is a bold statement, I think that it is almost as good as the original.
Yeah.
Like, and it as a movie on its own, it's a modern classic. To me, it's in that trifecta of that 28 Days Later and Shaun of the Dead for that zombie boom that we're still living in.
Shaun of the Dead.
And
Shaun of the Dead.
That'll get remade in 10 years, and we'll all be upset.
Yeah. Have you seen the House of Wax remake?
I liked it.
Yeah,
I liked it a lot.
It was great. And Paris Hilton in it.
It's so different than the original, but like the last third where all the shit's melting and stuff, there's some really cool visuals. And it doesn't take itself super seriously, and the gore's really good. Like, I have a real soft spot for that House of Wax remake.
Yeah, I like the House of Wax remake. I liked the Last House on the Left remake.
I still haven't seen that. I've been meaning to. It kind of came and went. And it's not one that streams very often, which makes me think it's got to be good because it's probably real brutal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's dark.
That particular period of time is hit and miss. Like, the Platinum Dunesy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't hate the Texas Chainsaw remake. It's not great.
I don't think I ever saw that.
It's
2004?
Yeah, something like that. And then I really liked the weird, like, Friday the 13th attempt at a redux they did.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
Yeah, but you know what always bothered me about that is in the preview they show him, like, kind of run at someone, and I was like, oh, that's...
Well, like, playing by their own rules. Weird. He also has a weed farm. That's a plot point in the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, that Jason's just grown weed at the place.
Because you know how Jason's really chill from smoking all that weed?
I also had the good fortune of seeing that movie in the ideal circumstances. I saw it on Valentine's Day in Long Beach, California, in a theater that was 95% full of African-American couples. My fucking God, it was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, like, I saw Halloween 4 in a theater that was predominantly black people.
The Curse of
Monsters. And there was so much, don't open that door!
The black guy got shot in the movie and somebody just yelled out, just like LAPD! Yeah. And the theater, like, erupted for 10 minutes. Never laughed harder in my life. Yeah,
they paused the movie.
You just hear the film sputtering inside because the projectionist is just slapping himself. Like, it's fuck. There were people running laps. It was and there were 5 babies in that theater. Like, it was the best screening of anything I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Did you like the Halloween remake? The Rob Zombie's Halloween remake?
I like parts of it.
I like the first one.
I still haven't seen the second. The second one is the only Rob Zombie movie I haven't seen at this point.
Yeah, it's not great. It's, but Rob Zombie is. Rob Zombie's amazing.
He's an interesting guy. He's another one who's like, I feel like I've liked less and less of his movies as his career goes on. And yet he's another guy who makes stuff that's so weird that I'll just go see whatever he makes.
Isn't it weird to think of him when you're like, as a director, and you're like, you mean the White Zombie guy?
Yeah. Well, I just imagine
musician he's... who makes good stuff. It's like Jared Leto. And you're like, hey, doesn't that guy have a band too?
It's, I like the idea of just Rob Zombie with the big, dumb, white zombie fur-covered top hat directing. Yeah.
Not to get off track, but have you seen the Jared Leto 30 Seconds to Mars documentary?
I haven't.
I watched it. It's here's the thing: the first half where it's basically a documentary about them fighting with the record label to be able to put out the album they want to put out. In the first half, where you see all of the legal behind the scenes shit, where they're actually fighting their record label, you're like, for one thing, it's fascinating. It's a super great documentary up to that point, and you're like really pulling for them, and then they start playing the songs and you're like, oh, the record label was right.
It's the opposite of the Wilco documentary.
Yeah, exactly. It's the exact opposite of that, because once those songs start, it's just like, this is what the fuck you were fighting for? Nope.
Like what they like.
It's garbage. They like garbage.
I feel like 30 Seconds to Mars was a really good way for Jared Leto to tell me that I don't have to like him.
Yeah.
Because up to that point, I was a trashy high school student in the golden age of movies you put on, make posters of for college. Like American Psycho, Fight Club, Requiem for a Dream. He's in them all. And then I was like, oh, he seems like maybe he's a cool guy. And then you hear his band, oh, fuck this guy.
Yeah,
and then he was like, don't worry, guys, fuck me.
Yeah. I tried to get him to sign a Requiem for a Dream DVD at a 30 Seconds to Mars show that I happened to be at just because they were opening for Incubus, which also that makes it
thank God
any better.
I'll give you no judgment, sir. Yeah. Sometimes you got to make yourself.
And he wouldn't do it. He was like, really? Band stuff.
Oh, he should have held it up to his face and then punched
it. You know who I bet would have signed it? Brandon Boyd.
Probably.
He wouldn't have given a shit. He's just like, sure, I'll sign whatever. I'm wearing a tank top.
Do you need anyone fingered while I'm here?
God, I was trying to explain Incubus to my girlfriend.
Oh.
Because my favorite story ever is famously bisexual and super hot Brandon Boyd.
Yeah.
Dated the bass player in the band, and then they broke up, and he fired the bass player and hired a super hot black guy to replace him. And if you look at the band now, there's at least three super hot black guys who were not originally in the band. And all the he's just search and destroying through his own band until he's just fronted by his dream version of the Robert Palmer band.
Oh.
Until he finally replaces the DJ with Tyrese Gibson.
The fact that he got rich with lyrics like, the sky looks like a backlit canopy.
Look, man.
With holes punched in it. It's literally the worst song lyric that's ever been
No
written.
One's defending Morning
In
Dew.
This moment, I am happy. Happy.
It's so, like, is he going for bad on purpose? Like, I can't it out. But I just really despise Incubus. Like, it's like
the album before and after that are not so bad.
Oh, you can't.
No
say
one's
that.
Defending Morning Dew, except maybe that last track's kind of dope.
Yeah,
but
they have a song called Megalomaniac.
And that song's pretty good.
That sounds really good.
I like how this became the Incubus.
Crow Left of the Murder was their comeback.
Crow Left of Murder
they were fucking
was a bad
groovy
album.
Hippies forever. Yeah. Everyone was like, "Fuck that shit. You're really misassessing how bro-y your audience is."
Yeah,
let's put on some fake Bad Religion songs and get back to it.
Yeah,
what's wrong? Put your puka shell necklace back on.
Put on a different puka shell necklace.
Put on one with spikes.
There's a. I'm a big fan of like Fuse and Fuel TV and all those. Like it's either going to have music videos or motocross on them. And they had a live Incubus concert on at some point. I was watching it. Like it was for like a select like super fan audience. And watching the band is all well and good. Watching the people who have been selected to be the Incubus super fans, I've never wanted to crawl into my TV and get everyone's life story.
How many red frosted tips were
in not near as many as you think? It was very much. Like there was a very specific look that was kind of the Midwestern version of like Orange County trash. Oh. Like that, like kind of attractive, but also kind of trashy. Like they have some kind of disease, but also like they're going to tell you their deep thoughts about something that like they can't tell their
there
friends.
There were road rash scars.
Yeah. Oh, I fucking, I got a weird, it's kind of like how I can watch the movie Alpha Dog a million times. Because it's just a very
great
specific
movie.
Subset
quality
of person.
Timberlake.
Yeah.
That movie's awesome.
That's good stuff. Is a really good movie.
They should remake that.
They will. I can see them doing that.
You know, the funny thing about remakes, though, and reboots, and
a remake in Scarface.
I'll make a remake,
which
is
kind of a remake because the Scarface was a noir movie.
Yeah,
it's all like fucking Star Wars is basically a reboot. Like the Magnificent Seven was a reboot of a reboot of a reboot. Like like everything traces back to like Kurosawa, Flash Gordon. From like the third, like all these old serials, like
Indiana Jones is a ripoff of a bunch of series, like Doc Savage stuff from the 30s.
Yeah. And it's all, and people are just like, oh, you can't do that. It's like, yeah, we literally, since celluloid film has existed, since people have been making movies, shit's been remade a million times. The Wizard of Oz that you all know and well, that you all know and love, is like the third Wizard of Oz.
Dracula is the same way. Yeah. Where it's like the fifth version of Dracula that had been made.
Yeah.
Also, almost every chick flick comes from, there was a movie in the 50s called, I think, The Coffee Shop Around the Corner. Something like that. The
Birds. Well, the first half of The Birds is a romantic comedy.
They're remaking The Birds.
That's the weirdest.
And The Making of The Birds is a romantic comedy.
That is true. But man, the watching the Birds, I got the Hitchcock Blu-ray set that's like the Vertigo, Psycho, The Birds. Yeah. Costco is an amazing thing, and sometimes it sells that for $40. And you're like, don't have this, but this is happening.
Yeah.
It's weird how literally the first two-thirds of that movie are a lady chasing a dude she thinks is cute around, and then for no reason, birds start attacking.
Yeah.
It's a damn good movie.
It is.
It's terrifying. I didn't see that movie until I was like 20. And I was like, I am really enjoying this.
My grandmother got me way into Hitchcock movies when I was a kid. I was 8 or 9.
My brother had a tutor, and she was a big film buff. And she would like tutor my brother, but give me Hitchcock VHSs to watch.
Yeah. I saw The Birds when I was really young. Vertigo, Rear Window, all that shit. Is his show, is the Alfred Hitchcock Presents still on Netflix?
I know it's on Hulu.
Oh, is it on Hulu?
It's the bunch of Hulu. Hulu's really good about having those weird anthology shows.
Yeah.
Like, they're really good about kind of holding on. The only one they've lost that made me sad was they had Chiller for a while, which was this weird show from the 60s that Christopher Lee hosted that's really well done. And it's kind of a forgotten about show.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever even heard of it.
Are You Afraid of the Dark shows up.
That's bound to get a reboot here. I think they're working on a movie of that.
Fine with that. Goosebumps. The Goosebumps movie was
perfectly cromulent.
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan is rebooting, is it Tales from the Crypt?
Fine with it. Give him 40 minutes something.
Which was the second version of that, because there's a 70s Tales from the Crypt anthology movie.
Well, and Creepshow and you know, the EC comics, the Tales from the Crypt EC stuff from the 50s. I mean, that's the reason the comic book industry almost got imploded upon.
Did you read the 10 Cent Plague? Comics.
I did not. I did read Comic Book Nation, read Seduction of the Innocent.
Which is a fascinating one.
It's an awful read.
Wortham's a truly awful man. I mean, the fact that he had to deal with the Albert Fish case, you understand why he's a little broken, but he is a real douchebag.
It's the guy that basically created Comics Code. Is this guy Frederick Wortham. He wrote a book in 1954, 55, called The Seduction of the Innocent, that was basically comic books make people criminals.
You got to read The 10 Cent Plague, because it covers that time period, and like the research and the writing in it is phenomenal. It points out that like Gaines, who was running Mad Magazine and EC at the time, like when he went to go do his testimony in Congress, was high out of his mind on speed. Because he'd been reading so many legal documents that he hadn't slept in days. So he's just this like disheveled asshole with a beard, high on speed, talking to Congress, going, no, we're not shady. Come on. We want to hang out with your kids.
What's shady about that?
Well, that's me.
There's just one senator's like, he seems legit. Let's give this a chance.
You can keep mad. It's fine.
It's a magazine now.
Yeah, that's right.
I noticed on the list, you know what I think is due for a remake that would be a really good remake is Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like that movie's fine, but like I feel like there's a lot of cool stuff you could do with that. A lot of those like kids sci-fi Disney touchstone movies from the 80s I think could get remade.
You know what I'd like to see? Lady Hawk.
Yeah. That'd be another good one.
See a nice Lady Hawk.
I don't remember Lady Hawk.
Matthew Broderick and Michelle Pfeiffer.
It's Richard Donner directed it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a medieval where like the two lovers are cursed. The lady becomes a hawk and the man becomes a wolf at different times of the day. You guys didn't know a Lady Hawk? Get your shit together.
I think he made that up.
Probably.
Yeah.
Clearly you guys didn't have HBO in the early 90s.
No.
I've never
heard of Lady Hawk. I don't know why I'm surprised. I bring up a lot of movies that I get made fun of for knowing about. I referenced Night of the Lepus and I got ripped apart for 3 weeks.
Night of the Lepus.
See?
It's Lepus. So maybe they're making fun of you for
pronunciation. No, that's not what it is.
No, I think it is Lepus, because we watched the trailer when we were
They call it the Leapus.
Really?
On the yeah.
Huh.
Also, it fits. It actually fits the.
Because they leap.
Well, it also fits the English grammar of vowel, consonant, vowel.
Night of the Leapus.
You've got a night of the Leapus, you do.
Fancy a tea? The Leapus is coming.
We can't leave you alone with him. He's a Leapus.
Yeah.
A convicted Leapus.
Convicted Leapus. I hope they reboot. I hope they remake Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of being the only person who likes Sucker Punch.
Man, I've never been so stoked for a movie and then just wildly disappointed. That was where I turned on Zack Snyder, because for a while there, I was like, this guy's great.
I didn't hate it. Like, I thought, I mean, it was an interesting premise. It wasn't executed perfectly.
I thought
yeah, the battle scenes were fucking
gave
amazing.
Work to Carla Gugino, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was fine with that.
Shout out to Spy Kids. I just watched that this weekend.
Is that the girl from Spy Kids?
Yeah. It's
the lady from Spy Kids.
The woman from Spy Kids. It's the spy mom.
Oh.
And Antonio Banderas.
Spy Dad.
Did you ever see Four Rooms?
Yeah.
Did you know he based like the Spy Kids franchise off of his chunk of Four Rooms?
Of course he did.
Because like the cool parents in it and the kids. And he was like, oh, this would be fun to make $1 billion off of.
That's what he does.
Yeah, he's
That's
fun.
What he does. He's just
Robert
like
Rodriguez is fun.
And
then he gave Machete, who was a character from Spy Kids, his own like horrifically violent franchise.
This is like one of those things where it's like how the Jeffersons are a spinoff.
Yeah,
Like how there's always these like different connections where it's like, oh, this show was spun off from Frasier, which means it's from Cheers, which means it was actually from Laverne and Shirley.
His channel is the fucking best, by the way.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, because he's got the From Dusk Till Dawn show, which actually is a pretty good remake adaptation.
Oh,
that starts with the movie concept and then jumps into Crazy Town.
Yeah.
And they have a show about a soccer player who's also an assassin.
Like that scene in Assassins where he shoots the soccer ball.
Yeah.
So the only interesting soccer player ever.
Yes. And then Lucha Libre Wrestling. And then the rest of the time it's either Kung Fu movies or old Grindhouse movies. It's
oh,
the
shit.
World's best channel.
And what's his channel?
El Rey.
Oh, wow.
It's like a kind of an in English, like Latino leaning channel.
I wonder if I can get it on DirecTV Now.
Hey, DirecTV Now, if you're listening, you should pick up El Rey.
Pick up El Rey.
Live
and this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make this podcast a show on
Unpopular DirecTV. El Rey. That's what we'll call it. We'll change names. It's fine.
We will. Yeah.
We'll totally just we'll shatter the names. Brand if we
I'll
have
let
to.
Robert Rodriguez host. It's fine. Yeah,
that'd
what
be
do fit. I care?
You do a good job. Oh, and he has his show, The Director Chair, where it's literally just him interviewing directors.
I think it's El Director Chair.
The Very well played, sir. The best is,
the
they end. Have John Carpenter on it, and he's literally just a skeleton smoking a cigarette for an hour.
Isn't he fun?
Like, God, I love that he's just like, fuck you, death. I refuse.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to start a rock band at 90 years old.
It's like listening to Clive Barker talk.
Oh, God. Oh.
That's a chore.
I gotta send you this amazing thing I found on YouTube called, it's called like, Nightmare Cafe or something like that. It was clearly a VHS special from the 90s, and it's Clive Barker hosting a dinner with like Ramsey Campbell and Lisa Tuttle and John Carpenter and Roger Corman, and they're all trying to come up with the ultimate horror movie for the new millennium, and it's just a bunch of dorks sitting at a table talking about shit. It's
wow.
It's almost unwatchable, but it's also hypnotic. I fall asleep to it pretty regularly.
I also feel like the idea of coming up with like in 1996.
Oh, it's like 1992.
Like coming up with like the thing of the future, and it's like, you know, they're going to be like, soon there will be techno phones.
Yeah.
And they'll have video. The video will be able to come out at you. And that's all I got.
And the now, video will be able to come out at you.
Oh, my God.
They invented 3D, and yeah. They summoned the dead ghost of William Castle.
There it is.
Oh. Well, we don't have comments because we're recording these out of order in last week's
episode.
What
reboot are you looking forward to?
I actually am looking forward to Death Wish because I like Eli Roth a lot, and me and my family as a collective were very much into Charles Bronson movies when I was a child.
Are you going to leave all your money to Charles Bronson when you die like that old crazy lady did?
Someone did that?
Yeah, you never heard that?
No.
This lady donated, like, she left all her money to Charles Bronson. She just took it.
Well, yeah. What do you mean?
Like the family was like, she was not in her right mind when she did that, when she put that in there.
He shot them all in the face.
And he like just donated it to charity, I think. Like he just got rid of it.
I want to know if we can jump from like doing a remake of Death Wish to just E. Riley Roth doing a remake of Death Wish 3.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just him with a grenade launcher.
that's when Cannon picked it. That's
yeah.
When Cannon picked
it. I want
it
him to just do those ones.
Yeah.
Did you see Death Sentence, the Kevin Bacon one?
No,
that
I
was
don't
the
think
same
so.
Author.
That's the air up there.
Huh?
That's the air up there that you're thinking of.
Oh, yes, you're right. Well done.
What?
You know, like sometimes Jeff just throws a thing in to destroy a conversation.
Oh, yeah. Sure,
you know the
sure.
movie The Air Up There starring Kevin Bacon where nope. he goes to Africa to get an NBA player? No, okay.
It's what do you guys stand movie. On, like a remake of, like, I'm trying to look through lightning rounds in, like, Major League?
I would be into it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it because it doesn't undo Major League.
I feel like we haven't had a good screwball sports movie like that in a while, too.
We might have missed one. Like, I think there's a few.
Are there?
But I just we might have missed them.
I just rewatched Caddyshack Concussion. For the first time in a minute. Oh yeah, that the I forgot what a romp that was.
Though. Yeah,
that was a good time.
Tell the truth.
Yeah. The I feel like that one could actually be good, especially like in a world where people are less crazy about baseball. Like you could really make like kind of a fun dark comedy out of that, and you put Charlie Sheen in towards the end where he's just like, "Hey guys, it's me. I'm wearing glasses and I have AIDS."
Yeah.
Just wheel him out there.
Yeah, that's the line.
Logan's I want him Run to they have on there.
I'm fine with that. A new Logan's Run? Fuck yeah. Like, I love any. If you're going to reboot, like, classic sci-fi, I'm all about it.
Yeah. Like, I feel like Dune needs to be redone.
Dune is, I would say, number one on the list.
Dune needs to be just done right. Like, Dune's never been done right. Like, it hasn't been.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah. And, like, the Sting Dune, it's like, there's a lot that they just
did. You guys see Jodorowsky's Dune, the documentary on his version of it? It's interesting because, like, at the time, it sounds insane because, like, I mean, it's. I don't love the concept of documentaries that are just like, here's a movie that didn't come out that could have been. Because there's like 50 of those now. But that one's fun because like just the number of people he had attached, where it's Pink Floyd, Mick Jagger, Orson Welles, Salvador Dali.
Jesus.
You know, Mick Jagger was almost the Rocky Horror Picture Show. He was.
Oh, he was?
Tim Curry. Yeah.
He was almost Alex from A Clockwork Orange,
the
too.
The studio was pulling for Mick Jagger.
God. And it turns out
I still would have hated that movie.
I feel like Mick Jagger just can't act because there's so many stories where he was almost this iconic role that went to a really good actor.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what happens. It's L.A., man.
But I love in Jodorowsky's Dune that, like, because at the end he's like, I want like a 13-hour movie, which now is just he's pitching a TV show. It was just he was before that was a thing.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, it's great that, like, in the end they're like, and it sucks because we had to go with this sellout corporate director, David Lynch. Like, it's such a crazy bananas world.
Yeah.
That the only director who can be mad about that is Jodorowsky, the only guy who's further on the weird spectrum.
For sure.
There it is.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll get that movie right someday.
I look forward to Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
I like the original Flash Gordon. I think it's a fun...
If you guys could remake a movie...
Ah. What would you remake, Jeff?
If I could remake a movie... If I could, like, just reboot and restart an entire franchise, I'd like to see it where somebody would have... It's almost stupid because I want to be like, Star Wars. I want to see where that would start, like, being restarted. I don't know. I'll come back to me. I'll come up with an actual one.
You got one?
Reboot.
Do you need a minute here?
Hellraiser.
Yeah.
That's on the list.
Fuck yeah.
Are they that's rebooting the Hellraiser?
Yeah, they've been working on that for a minute. Cool. That one's in like a weird legal stance where they keep making shitty Hellraiser movies for $70.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, there's some really rough ones.
Yeah. Pinhead was that's an underrated movie.
Oh yeah.
Villain right there.
And the second one. The second one.
Hellbound
is maybe one of the best like sick day horror movies because it's so weird when you're in kind of like half wellness to just start and go like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm afraid I'm gonna fuck it.
Yeah. Hellraiser for me.
I want to remake X-Men.
Hmm.
I feel like it's a hot tire fire mess.
It'll probably get
and they'll do another bad job.
It'll probably get pulled back into the Marvel. I think eventually Marvel's going to reclaim all its stuff. See, like, I would like to see the Fantastic Four done properly.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, yeah.
Because I tried the 2015 Fantastic Four. Like, I was like, let me just
You were
try
the one
it.
Who warned me to not see it.
And I literally fell asleep in the middle of it. I was like, fuck this movie so
what
hard.
What bums me out is, like, I feel like the thing that drives me crazy about the Fantastic Four...
The thing.
is...
I got it.
It seems like such a simple thing because the Fantastic Four is your family thing. And they keep doing these kind of like darker and darker versions. Like the Fantastic Four movies should be Spy Kids.
Yeah. They should be the Incredibles is what they should be.
It should be just this fun PG-rated kind of cheeky adventure saga that kind of introduces you and sucks you into comic world stuff because that's what they are in the comics.
Fantastic Four 2 Rise of the Silver Surfer was trying to do that, but then they got way too serious with the Galactus thing.
How crazy is it that guy, like Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
He can be so shitty in one superhero role and so good in another.
He wasn't bad as
Human Torch. Oh, I wanted to punch him in the face as the Human Torch in every season.
Well, he's an asshole because Johnny Storm is an asshole.
He is insufferable in those movies.
That's like saying...
He is like the douchey cousin of every character in The Fast and the Furious who like does the same thing, but it works.
Yeah, but that's like being like Hayden Christensen was a shitty Anakin. It's like, well, that's because George Lucas is like, this is what I want you to do. And he wasn't going to pull his
tail. After Hayden Christensen got away from George Lucas, he really turned his acting career around.
I still stand by that Life is a House is a fantastic movie, and he was great in it.
Well, you're an idiot. He was... I've actually like, never even, I don't
Star
even
Wars movie. No, Star Wars fucked them because people didn't want to give him jobs.
Well, but then they saw Jumper and were like, ah, oh, he's shitty in this too.
But look at Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon Jinn. Like, it's all bad.
Sure,
like,
but he had an Oscar going into it.
But it's polishing a turd. Like, you can't, when you have a shitty script and a director who's like, I really want you to play it out and whine more. Like, what are you going to fucking do? Like, I don't blame the actors for Star Wars going badly. I sometimes do. I blame Lucas for Star Wars.
I blame some of the actors.
Yeah, sometimes it's the actors.
I blame all the Anakins.
I blame all the kids.
Yeah.
Any kid.
I blame that little Greedo kid.
Warwick Davis. That was Warwick Davis.
Was it?
Yeah.
Nice. Did he die?
No, he had like a show on HBO.
Oh, good for him.
Did you ever see that bit, though?
I did think he died, too, though.
That bit.
We're both thinking of Kenny Baker, I'm realizing.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah, Warwick Davis.
I had to retire a bit.
That's right. Good thing it got on your album.
Yeah.
You have a great album.
And actually, that's not on the album. That's on, theoretically, my Coming to the Stage, which I booked because of your show in Burbank.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, wow.
Unless they cut it out, in which case, good for them.
Bastards.
Those bastards. So we should probably wrap it up. Like I said, we don't have comments to go over. So we're.
Do you guys usually get the fun, like, hate-filled comment section?
No, our comment section's really great.
We are loved. Oh, we're nice. Beloved.
Yeah. We have cultivated That's it what very nicely.
They always insist on introducing you both as beloved podcasters.
Yeah, yeah. We actually insist on that.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's also reboot Virtuosity while we're here.
Oh, that'd be cool. Or Terminal Velocity, push that car to that plane again.
Yeah.
The Getaway starring Chuck Sheen and Christy Swanson.
I'm going to stand by another reboot of Point Break that undoes the last one.
Mm. Yeah, that was bad.
Really but like one that's like a sequel to the original.
Yeah, I'd be into that. All right, do we have anything to plug before we get out of here?
I got some stuff, I suppose.
No. Let's hear it.
I got my podcast, This Is Rad.
Can you edit that out, please, Jess? Thank you.
New episodes are out every Wednesday. It's me and my co-host Matt Burnside and our producer Natalie Hazen, and we talk about things people think are rad. Jeffrey has been on before. I need to have you on at some point, too.
Yes, you do.
It's a lot of fun. We're in the middle of Varch, our all video game March run, just because my co-host no longer works for Activision, so now he can legally talk about video games.
Oh, nice.
But we have a lot of fun with that. We've had a very fun and eclectic set of people. I kind of one of the things I admire about you guys as well, like just finding people who are interesting and have opinions instead of
we don't have interesting guests.
People.
Exactly. Yeah. No.
Oh, I see how it is.
Wow.
And then I also and then This Is Rad also has a YouTube channel that has a bunch of sketches on it that I'm really proud of that I've directed and I co-wrote with Natalie Hazen. I would particularly throw out Were Dick, which is a 5-minute short film we made that is about a guy who gets bit in the dick by a werewolf and then his dick's a werewolf.
Nice.
Goes around murdering people. If you've ever wanted to see people get murdered by a dick, I got to put a GoPro on a fake werewolf dick. And that's maybe my greatest moment as a director.
It's good. I saw it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then I have an album called I'm a Person, which is on all the places where you can stream music and stuff like that. Or you can get hard copies at astoymerchandise.com.
Very nice.
It's a great album. It's a great album.
It's a lot of fun.
I was there for the recording.
There's a little trailer for it, and you're all over the trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
I turned after I saw the first cut of the trailer. I was like, I didn't realize I just hung out with Jeff the whole night.
No, I think we spent 10 minutes together, and the way it was edited, it looked like I was just like taking care of you.
It looks
you
like we were having a secret affair the whole time.
Yeah, and I was just like, Natalie edited this to make it seem like I'm way more important than I was to this night.
In almost every frame.
Yeah, I was like, what do you do? Like... I'm just there being like, I'm proud of you. Here you go. I'm going to hang out and talk to you.
You helped me put my outfit on?
Yeah. Well, you know.
You were fixing my collar.
It's a stressful time.
There's a really intimate piece of footage where he's just like adjusting my outfit for me before I walk on stage.
Dressed like a longshoreman.
Yeah.
I was at the time.
Jeff, do you have anything to plug?
Mint on Card, second Friday of every month. You guys know the
it's
drill.
It's a great show.
Come, you could watch comics get booked for stuff that I don't get, which
yeah,
is exciting.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Second Friday of every month. I'm not sure when this is going up, but you guys can figure it out. March 10th, April 14th.
And follow us on all the socials at Unpops on Twitter, at unpops.podcast on Instagram. Subscribe to all our podcasts on iTunes. Or on connectpal.com / unpopular opinion.
Not an or. That's an and. Yeah. Like, you get on there.
$4.99 a month. You get 10 episodes a week. It's the best goddamn value in podcasting.
Can you imagine that? That is value?
That is a solid value.
12.5 cents per episode.
You get pretty scary. You get the Caitlin Cut rookie card.
Oh, did you get some White Wine True Crime with all that?
Yeah, well, they have a show on the network.
What a value. Yeah.
White Wine True Crime has a show. Where it's basically White Wine True Crime, but about spooky haunted things with it.
Yeah.
Caitlin Cutt's a treasure.
National treasure.
A national treasure.
Yeah.
Nobody doesn't like Caitlin Cutt.
Yeah.
Follow me at Kyle Clark is rad.
Oh, yeah. Follow me at Jeff May.
Nope.
No? Oh, hey, there, Jeffro.
There it is.
There we go.
And
there
I'm at Adam Todd Brown. Jess, what are you on Twitter?
McJess Sandwich.
Oh, that's a good. That's a God solid damn it. Handle.
That is a.
Well
that's
done.
That's a good one.
MCJESS. Sandwic.
So yep. Three S's in the middle there?
Yeah.
Okay.
McJess. She's like Cobra Commander. Oh, speaking of which, G.I. Joe Retaliation, the Rock G.I. Joe. That's a damn good whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
I liked it.
Okay.
The end. Don't that.
Well, we're all wrapping up, and you want to start another 35-minute talk
no,
about
I didn't.
G.I. Joe.
I just wanted to say, hey, I will fucking
I thought we were high-fiving.
You. No.
High-fiving.
He's punching his hand like
cool.
A real monster.
Not cool. All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Kyle, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Jeff, say goodbye.
Get the Kyle Clark rookie card.
Jess, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
Bristol Street.